This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome, Atomic Radio Hour, episode 122. I'm your host, Vince.
And I'm your going-off-the-rocker host, Olive. How are you?
I exist in a time, in a space, in an area, as an idea, as a construct, in a cube, on a rock, yeah. In space. How about yourself?
That's more than I can claim to be myself.
Why is that?
I'm going kind of nutty. I've been following the United States election coverage.
Sorry.
And yeah, thank you for the condolences. It's just fucking horrible.
It's
just bad.
It's nuts to think that Kanye pulled that huge lead at the last minute.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. I really can't believe it. It's step into my box of misery for just a sec before we do the rest of the episode.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just like sitting here,
mm-hmm.
and like trying so hard to ignore it,
mm-hmm.
but like every time I like take a step away and try to ignore it, I just get anxious about like potential results that could be like really bad for me and people like me.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's just this entire time of being anxious and uncertain,
mm-hmm.
about the future, and it's just really bad, especially in the like Senate and the House. It's not looking very good. I mean, I don't have anything to worry about with the presidential race. Have you seen my new curtains? I got new curtains.
Like, great. I love the curtains.
Back to the dread. yeah, I have not been getting very much sleep. And I'm kind of going a little bit crazy. A little bit loopy over here. So, if it looks like I've got this, like, twinge of unhinge in my eye.
Unhinged twinge.
Yeah, like a twinge of unhinge. It's because it's accurate and true. And I am just...
My brain. I believe in you. Get it out. You're almost there.
My brain is just exploding. And it's been a really hard week personally for me.
It's been a hard mating season for bird person.
I wouldn't say that.
You know what I mean. Fuck you.
Yeah. But yeah. It's just been kind of a living nightmare for like the past 4 or 5 days. And that sucks, personally. Hopefully by the time people are listening to this, there's been some decisive call on the presidential race. That would be nice.
Yeah, I saw, did you see the Atlanta strippers commercial about going out and voting?
No.
Oh, dude, it was so funny. It was saying that, like, they got a bunch of strippers from, like, a big strip club, I guess. And they interviewed them and, like, go to the polls. And there's one that always makes me laugh. And she's like, motherfuckers talking about, they gonna pick what they gonna pick, shawty, get the fuck out of the polls. Like, it always makes me laugh. And I saw something on Twitter before we started recording that said, if you took all the strippers in Atlanta, they'd have every single, vote counted, stacked, counted, and banned up and ready to go home. And I saw funny.
One that said, Chick-fil-A drive-thru would have had this bitch counted. That was pretty fucking good.
What are the Amish doing? Again, fuck the Amish. What are you doing? Like, do the Amish pay taxes? Yes or no? Like, why are the Amish just allowed to ride horses? And then, like, do you think they're like, oh, Brother Jebediah, time to go vote now? And then they go vote and they're like, how do you use the tablet? Like, fucking...
I'm losing it.
Hold on. And we gotta find this out. We gotta find this out. Okay, Google.
How do the Amish vote?
Do the Amish pay taxes?
Here are the top search results.
Well, I'm not clicking on something. I don't know how to read. Kyle still won't teach me. Hello.
Hello.
So, yeah. Have you heard about motherfucking... We'll get into the thing in a minute, but have you heard about Kanye 2049?
No, I have
okay,
not.
Okay, good. I didn't want to talk to you about it till the episode so I can get your genuine reaction.
Sure.
It is by far the best Kanye album I have ever heard. So, okay. There's a story that goes with it. It's like an ARG.
Okay.
So, it's the year 2049. We didn't cure climate change, right?
Which is, bad.
Yeah. And President Barron Trump has got together with some scientists and found a device. They've discovered this device that the scientists literally explain it as, it goes into another timeline where we gave a shit about our environment and we steal the water, the oil, all the other resources from this other timeline and we bring it here. At the same time, nobody has seen Kanye West in 30 years. So him and his family went on this, what they were calling a religious retreat. For 30 years ago, and it's assumed that, like, maybe he escaped into space on a $1 billion spacecraft, and there has not been a new Kanye song in 30 years. They turn on this device to go get all the resources from another timeline. The only thing that comes back is a flash drive that says Kanye 2049 on it, and it's unlike anything you've ever heard before, and they believe it might be the cure to save the planet. And it's 17 tracks of every single Kanye song.
This is just the preamble?
Yeah, this is just the beginning of it. Like, this is just the first thing that, like, leads you into the album. Like, it's not part
what
of the album.
Fuck?
Yeah, dude, it's a fan-made album. I don't know where they got the stems from, but it's like, they use... The guy who made it will use the samples the same way Kanye uses the samples for the to make a beat, but he'll use it in like a different way and then put lyrics from other songs on it. So it's like a mashup of all of these different Kanye songs in like 17 tracks, and it like it's his entire career. But like, dude, it's the fucking like there was parts where I wanted to cry. Like it's that good. It's
really?
That fucking good. It's that fucking good. Like
I haven't heard of anything about this.
Oh, dude, I didn't want to tell you about it. I wanted to get your genuine reaction now. Fucking crazy.
I thought this was an official project, and I was gonna be like, Jesus Christ.
No, it's by a dude named Toasty Digital. Put a link to Toasty's channel somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta send it to me first.
Yeah. But like, dude, fucking, it's so good. I've been listening to nothing but that.
Well, cool. That sounds pretty neat.
All right.
It also sounds kind of bonkers.
It's nuts. You'll hear it and be like, what the fuck? Like, when you hear the Yeezus stuff come in, you're like, wow.
Whoa.
Like, because of how fucking crazy Yeezus is from everything else he's ever made. And you're like, how does this work? Like, it's fucking...
My favorite project has always been Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in there.
That's good.
Yeah. Good. You want to get in this lore?
Yeah, I don't think I have any other updates. Actually, before we get into this lore...
Oh, yeah.
I've got two things. One, I'm going to be on a charity stream. If you're listening to this today, it comes out today. I'm going to be doing a charity stream with some... Hold
on. Not if you're listening to this today. If you're listening to this on Saturday.
That's what how I was going to frame it, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't yell.
If you're listening to this the day it comes out, Saturday, I'll be on a charity stream that day, which would be your today, and in my future. It's going to be an extra life stream for children in need in the hospital. And I'm going to be doing it with some friends here that are local and in New York. And it's going to be a 24-hour thing. I'm not going to be on it for 24 hours because I have a semester to try to revive from the dead. But I will be there for a couple hours, and I'm going to post about it in the Discord. And come by and help support some of them kids. And also, another thing we have to talk about before this, Lore, is the Patreon.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Vince, do you have anything to say about our Patreon?
I love them. If you'd like to support us, you can throw us a couple dollars on Patreon. It's not required. It's appreciated, but not required. But it's just, we can buy better equipment. We can make the show bigger. We can make the show better with it. It literally keeps the lights on for the show. Mm-hmm. We could buy more equipment. We can do a lot of more fun stuff. It allows us to do multiple shows. We have Atomic Radio Hour, we have Lizard Brains, Kyle and Vince Likes, and Atomic Tabletop, which is going to come out sometime, and a bunch of other fun stuff that we can do because of that. And that being said, there are some folks we have to thank.
Yes. So let's start with the classic Noah.
Thank you, Noah.
Thank you, Noah. Next up is Gage twice.
Thank you, Gage, once for the Patreon and once for supporting our Discord. We started to stream our video to each other so we can see each other and get somewhat of a more genuine reaction out of each other. And we can do that because of your contribution to both Patreon and Discord. So thank you.
Next up is Jordan with a Y.
Thank you, Jordan with a Y.
Game night host extraordinaire.
Yes.
Next up is Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Followed by Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
And our newest folk here at the rodeo, Bones Jones.
Bones Jones.
Which thank you, Bones I still Jones. Cannot get over that name and how much I just fucking love it.
Yeah. Did you ever hear somebody say they want to jump your bones?
Yes, I have.
How fucking funny is that?
The first time I heard that,
your grandmother said it, right?
No, my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That checks out, right?
Yeah,
because
that's a
we
very...
gotta have my dad on here for like a special.
When you come home.
My dad is a character. He is wild. And I love him very much and he loves me.
I think
he's partial to you too.
Yeah. I think having your... We wouldn't have to talk. We would say one thing, and then he would just go.
Yeah, we'd say, hey, guys, Atomic Radio Hour, and my dad would just go on for,
Kennedy.
Like, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Be like, hey, welcome to the show. I'd be like, hi, Kennedy, huh? You want to get in this episode?
We're already in the episode, but I would like to get into this lore.
Cool. Vault?
Oh, hold up. I gotta get my prop.
You have a prop?
Yeah, I do have a prop.
I'm leaving this in. Vault 22. I cropped the screen.
I know. I'm just getting myself situated.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. Vault 22. Pre-war. It had housed scientists working to combat world hunger with staple crops. Now, I looked up what staple crops are. Do you know what staple crops are?
It's like the ones that survive, that make the population not die, right?
Like potatoes, wheat.
Corn, yeah.
Corn. It's like the basic shit. Are you taking a picture of you with your plant?
No.
Where are you?
No.
I can see your phone in your glasses.
Nuh-uh.
Vault 22 is developing advanced fertilizers for better crop production, increased resistance to insects, drought, and disease. Post-war scientists continue with the goal of sustaining the experiment within the confines of the vault. It was designated as a green vault. Those selected were dedicated to several different experiments, including fungus donated by private contractors. This would later be the vault's entire downfall. I'm going to spell this out, and we're going to try to sound this one out together. You ready?
Sure.
B-E-A-U-V-E-R-I-A. Baruvia?
Baruvian? That sounds as close as I could guess.
Baruvian. M-O-R-D-I-C-A-N-A. Mordicana?
Yes.
Baruvian Mordicana, originally designed for pest control. This is a fungus. When exposed to the fungus, it colonizes and infests itself in the host body. The colony expands through the body and then dies due to failure of body function. Even after the host dies, the fungus has control of the host, and it moves it around and spreads the more spores to a new host.
That's not terrifying at all.
No, this reminded me of The Thing. Like a very slow The Thing. Takes 10 to 20 days to kill its prey. It has limited effectiveness when it comes in contact with unsocial hosts.
Man, I'd be fucked then.
What's that?
A non-social host.
Yeah. There's a bunch of reclusive dudes who are like, well, we're good. Originally developed by Big Mountain in the X-22 Botanical Gardens. It was later passed on to Vault-Tec. Once Vault-Tec scientists started to work with the fungus, it pretty much killed themselves. What did you just do? fucking plant, or did you kiss the plant?
I gave a little kiss.
It's a plant. It's not a cat.
I love this plant. Sorry. I feel like my eyes are producing tears right now, and I don't know why.
Because you're kissing fucking plants. That's how you get pregnant, by kissing plants.
Damn. Jeez Louise. I'm just fucking losing it, dude. Continue.
Oh, okay. I'll start when you're ready. Even though it was intended as pest control, it was super capable of infecting humans. Dr. Harrison Peters was Peters. The first to be confirmed with the virus. I have Peter, but it's probably Peters.
It's Peters, yeah.
It's Peter?
It's Peters.
Okay, that's what I thought. So when it infects the body, it invades the lungs, giving you pneumonia, turns to chills, fever, and a terrible racking cough. I don't know what a racking cough is, but that was on the list.
Kind of like that.
Give me one more time. One more time, because Discord keeps cutting it out. No, seriously, because Discord keeps cutting it out.
It's like a big throaty, yucky, but dry cough.
Okay. Organ failure later occurs because the fungus rejects any antifungal treatment. So you're fucked.
That seems like a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah. This later develops into colonies in deceased bodies. It's highly aggressive. It becomes a highly aggressive spore carrier. It spread through the vault like a wildfire. Social order collapsed because of this. On lower levels, scientists released an ignited gas to destroy the fungus. This triggered an aggressive reaction that ripped scientists limb from limb. So if it was in your body,
you gotta love that.
Yeah. This is where it gets really fucking interesting, because it took me a few times to read this on the wiki to understand what I was reading. And again, all the lore comes from fallout.fandom.wiki. Fallout.fandom.com, I'm sorry. In 2096, the vault was finally abandoned and 118 survivors made its way to Zion Canyon. Right? You following this? The dwellers came across a small group of Mexican survivors that were not a threat whatsoever. Okay? February 11th of 2096, the dwellers attacked the Mexicans, killing all of the men and shot down women and children that fought back. Anybody was left was penned like livestock.
What the fuck?
Just because. And then I wanted to read this next part directly off the wiki because they were afraid. They were scared. I wanted to read this part directly off the wiki so I didn't fucking mess
it up. Have they never seen a brown person before?
I don't know. Probably. Probably they've seen one. So listen to this. These are two paragraphs I wanted to read directly off of this to make sure that it made sense.
Is it the one starting with Randall?
Yeah, which is one of my favorite Fallout characters ever. Randall Clark, the Guardian of the Valley, was desperate to help the Mexican survivors. Over the next 2 days, he surveyed the area. Vault 22 dwellers were organized well with patrols and sentries set up along all approaches into the camp except for the stream. The coughing amongst the dwellers puzzled Clark, but he ignored it and prepared to save the surviving Mexicans. He went to the camp on February 14th. What he saw snapped something inside of him. The Vault 22 dwellers killed and ate everyone they took from the Mexican survivor camp. Clark...
if you say so.
Clark retaliated, waging a brutal war of attrition against them with his rifle in hand and all of the explosives he could use. He ambushed the dwellers where he could booby trap bodies and weapons he could not take. By the end of February, he killed 24 dwellers, and in the 10 days it took to accomplish this, he only suffered one wound, a 10 millimeter steel jacket through the thigh, missing the femoral artery. Though he remained unseen by survivors, he was forced to move to camp, where on March 2nd, a small patrol nearly uncovered his camp in a cave where one of the men were caught in a deadfall trap. Panic fire almost hit him. After he disposed of the intruders, he moved the camp to the Cureva Garache? Garache? I don't know how to pronounce that.
I have no idea either.
Victory came 10 months later after losing 6 concurrent overseers and more than 80 members of the group to Clark and sickness. The dweller gave up and fled the canyon after eating their dead for nourishment. History loses track of them past this point. Occasionally damaged pit boys and vault jumpsuits from the vault found their way into the hands of prospectors. How fucking crazy is that?
What the fuck? I never knew this.
I don't remember that. I remember going, oh, cool, Vault 22 came here. Like, whatever, the Mexicans. Well, I remember reading about them, but not this.
I was kind of bad at the Zion Canyon DLC, and I obviously didn't consume enough of it. So I had no fucking idea any of this happened.
When I streamed Honest Hearts on Discord, link to Discord in the description below. I remember loving this. I remember loving the Randall Clark story that every time I found a terminal, I like did a voice and I was like, it's been days and I'm hungry and I'm tired. Nothing exists anymore. I don't know why. I just don't kill myself. Like it was just, I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I remember like that was the gist of it.
That was the tone. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember like getting really into it and like
really, really getting into the mic and reading into the mic and really putting on an ASMR voice. And
do you ever notice how Ulysses talks?
Yeah.
Like if I'm tired enough, Ulysses just talk.
I notice you, Mark. You have the mark of Kaisar. At one point in time, I was one of Kaisar's fumentari when he took down my tribe of the Twisted Hairs.
And, like, that's still too fast for how he speaks. But he talks just like...
Meandering around the woods.
Yeah, like, he talks like he just smokes a pack a day and he's tired all the time.
Me too.
Just the last little bit I have here is the vault itself fell into disrepair over the years, overrun by plants and wildlife that thrived in the conditions within. The occasional scavenger quickly fell prey to the creatures dwelling within the fungus. I'm sorry, the creatures dwelling within or the fungus. If they managed to survive, it wasn't until roughly 2281 when it piqued the interest of others more... more specifically Thomas Hildebrand, director of the NCR's Office of Science and Industry, or the OSI East. He had hired multiple mercenaries to retrieve the secret of the vault, hoping to find a way to enhance the agricultural output of the NCR to stave off projected famine. Of course, the biggest benefit would be the major promotion for him. His latest hire, Keeley, has gone missing, much like the previous mercenaries, but this time the situation is different, and that's a whole different...
And because you're the main character, you can, you're aptly, equipped to deal with the job of the killer plants.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just some notes here that I'll go through quick, and then we're pretty much done with lore.
You recording? I do like the, yes. I do like the sign that's out front of Vault 22 that says, "Stay out, the plants kill."
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun with editing this this background, because what I think I'm just going to do is just use the picture of Vault 22's exterior where it's all green, and then I might just put some like plant shit in there.
Cool. I like the picture that's labeled oxygen recycling too. That's a really like nice shot.
Just some quick notes. This is where you can find the AER-14 prototype. Isn't that one of your favorites? It shoots the green.
If I don't do Big Mountain, yes, because Big Mountain gets the better one. I think it's Elijah's LAER.
I have this. I don't know if this will show.
That's so damn cool.
Did you know I have this?
Yeah, I did, but I don't think I've ever actually took a gander at it.
Pew pew. Yeah. This is a Loot Crate, like, exclusive. I hope if I crop the screen, it doesn't, like, lose it. This is what, like, a laser rifle looks like. They did do one that's, Harkness's plasma rifle.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I have to get that at some point. I did buy some more fucking shit for the shelf, so don't worry, we're gonna be going through that next, because...
Ooh.
And it comes on a little stand that says Fallout 4. Not huge on that.
It's still kind of cool that it has a little, like, stand, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because what am I going to do? Just, like, put it somewhere? Because it's, like, a weird size.
Yeah.
Cool.
I fucking love this vault. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's cool.
I like that you can go in and, like, find Keeley and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the, like, aesthetic of it. How it's, like... all overgrown, and there's the fungus creatures in there. This is just, I love this vault.
I'm going to read some quick notes on it.
Yeah,
The background music in the vault is the Vault of the Future, which is originally used for Vault 13 in the first Fallout. This is one of the only vaults in the Mojave without an entry tunnel, the other one being Vault 3. Furthermore, 22 is the only vault in the Mojave whose vault door would have opened directly to the outside world at the time of its construction, similar to many West Coast vaults. When examining the outer vault door closely, the door number actually reads 92 and not 22.
No shit, really?
Yeah. The first interior door to the staircase very faintly reads 101 under the grime.
Like, just because they were using the assets, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I can't blame them. That was at the era where you had to be pretty frugal with big games like that.
Strange voices and typing sounds can be heard throughout the vault, and these are part of the song, the background music. That's about it. There were two cut robots that were called Koch and Bohr. And they're cut out of the game. That's about it. They were based on real scientists. Oh, wow. According to Josh Sawyer in an interview with PC Gamer, Vault 22 was partially based off the nursery that was meant to appear in Van Buren. That's neat.
That is neat. I just read that.
Yeah. Cool.
The real world location for Desert Greens, a neighborhood in North Las Vegas.
Cool.
Or the geographical location of an early map.
The final overseer was a Jay Hendrisk.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck him.
Fuck him?
Fuck him. No. There we go. You have any final words on Vault 22?
I like plants.
Plant?
I like plants. Plant? I like this vault. And I think it's one of the best vaults that you can play.
Really?
Yeah, just my opinion. I've got no reason to back it up. I just really like it.
I don't like this one as much just because I feel like I always do it, and there's a bunch of vaults that I just haven't done in New Vegas, to be honest. I've been in Vault 3, but I don't remember ever doing anything with Vault 3 other than just going in there and killing all the fiends.
Yeah, killing Motorhead.
Yeah.
Or is it Motorhead or Motor Runner?
Motor Runner. Motorhead's a band.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's also the vault that I don't think I've ever done where they put everybody in the room where you had to elect somebody and then they killed the person. And the only way for the vault to like open back up was for them to say, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
What's the number
vault
of that one?
I don't know. I don't know where it is. I think it's 30 something. We'll be doing it soon, but
yeah.
I have an idea for the next batch of lore that we're going to do. I think we're going to, I said it to you when you were home last. I think I'm just going to say it. We're going to do all the antagonists.
Ooh.
Do the protagonists. Now we'll do all the antagonists. We already did Frank Horrigan, but we'll go back and do a bunch of other people. And maybe when Frank pops up, I'll find something else neat for that week, but we're going to start doing the antagonists.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is that also going to cover DLC like Ulysses and stuff?
I think I'm going to do everything first.
Okay.
Like, I'll do the main games first, and then I'll go back and do DLC, because there's going to be vaults sprinkled in. Because, like, also, like, Kaisar is going to take a lot. And Ulysses is going to take a lot. And I kind of want to have, like, the base of everything set up, and then go back.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of refreshing, even though we've been on New Vegas kick recently.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of refreshing to talk about, like, Fallout 1 and 2.
I can't wait to talk about the Master. I can talk about the Master and how fucking cool he is all goddamn day. Richard Monroe? Fuck yeah, dude.
And, like, Mariposa and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit's wild.
So we're out of lore. I have something here. I have a little package. I bought more shit than I didn't need to
what
buy.
What do you have?
We're going to do a little bit of an unboxing. Can you just kind of vamp while I open this?
Please? Vamp. No, I mean, I haven't told anyone yet, but I started a New Vegas playthrough.
Ooh, yeah, tell us about it.
It's New Vegas with a hint of mod.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an insane amount of mods. It's just like I got like Nevada Sky in there. I got Project Nevada. Just like basically, I'm trying to do like a decently vanilla playthrough.
with
some tweaks, just to make it like look better and like act a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I have like New Vegas anti-stutter and stuff like that, so
what's
that
anti-stutter?
Actually, like, it basically just makes the game not freak out, and it like loads better and stuff. I got a texture pack. I got NMC's texture pack because I prefer those textures and they're like more HD.
A Minecraft? You said MC.
Oh, NMC is the author of the most popular texture pack for Fallout. And I've decided for the first time ever, I'm going to be doing a Kaisar run.
Away.
I'm gonna be doing Kaisar, and right now I have a bunch of luck and a bunch of agility. So I'm going to be playing with, I think, Gun. I'm going to be doing a gun run.
Our way.
Good I just basically want to have a pistol, and I want to have basically do mostly pistol, grenades, and, like, spears. So I'm pretty excited to see where it goes. Right now, I just hit up the Powder Gangers, and I was like, sup, I'm evil. What can I do for you? Where's Ringo so I can kill his ass?
Actually, on my most recent playthrough, I just, what do you call it? I just killed all of Good Springs.
Oh, yeah?
I walked in and I was like, you're going to die, Doc Mitchell.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah.
Bye.
So you want to see what I have?
Bye. What did you buy?
I bought a pin set.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's really all the specials. Cool. Yeah. This was going around for a while. I remember Kyle sending me a picture of this that he saw it at a Best Buy somewhere. But I never got my hands on it. Now I have it. So it's just all the specials. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I might just put it on the shelf, like as is. I might just put it on the shelf. I kind of want to put the pins like here on the hat, like around the hat.
But I don't know if that's cool. I would put them on like my backpack in order, like of special. I've got a bunch of pins on my backpack. I don't know where that bitch is.
My backpack. I actually have... I mean, my backpack's right here. Hold on. I have a loot crate. Because I bought the loot crate that was the Fallout one. Where is it? I have the bomb.
I had that one, but the back came off and I lost it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have that one. That.
And I have Dragonite, who's the best pseudo-legendary.
Dragonite Knight?
Dragonite Knight. The Watchman pin. You know.
Yeah.
Just enough to make it look. I got like, I think I got Godzilla, Biggie Smalls, Batman on there. Like, you know, shit that I like.
you gotta cover your bases. Join it in mine.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do anything with these other than just leave it on a shelf.
Looking at it now, it's almost all McElroy stuff.
I saw Final Pam.
Yeah, I've got the Final Pam up here. The Mothman from Taz Amnesty. IPRE is from The Adventure Zone. So is Hello Sirs. This one is Bim Bam. Mm-hmm. You know.
What does it say?
You know.
Oh.
On this side, have Haunted Doll Watch.
Oh, that's cool.
This is another Taz Amnesty. This is another Amnesty. And, you know, trans rights. And this is a merman that I found that I really liked.
We have to stop doing visual components.
Yeah, we do. Sorry, audio listeners. Watch on YouTube so that you can see our cool pins.
Yeah. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I'm going to take any of these out of here, it's obviously going to be the charisma one. That's always my favorite stat. And I'll put it on my hat because I do a lot of talking with this hat on.
What's the luck one look like?
It's a vault boy with a little cat.
Oh, I like that one.
It looks just like the pins that you see in Fallout 4 during a loading screen that's like...
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're like...
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't expensive. It was under like $15.
It was not bad at all.
For 7 pins, and they're all metal. So... Yeah.
Cool. That's real cool.
Thanks.
What are you up to, my friend? How are you doing?
I've been playing a lot of Minecraft.
Have you now?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me a bit about that?
So I was streaming it today. Another reason for you to join is we stream in there.
In where?
In Discord. Which you should stream your New Vegas playthrough. And I was playing Minecraft, and the way I have it set up is I don't really like using creative all that much. Like, I like survival a lot. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, there's just something that I know is going to be too daunting of a task, and I'll just be like, fuck this, I'm just going to do it in creative quick. So I built like a roller coaster on the back of my house. Sorry?
That's what I do. Like,
yeah.
I'll get in creative as soon as I spawn a world, just to, like, find a place that I want to settle.
Mm-hmm.
And once I find, like, the perfect plot of land, I make, like, a little, like, base plate and just drop myself in and, like, kind of build it out of, like, stone and wood to not, like, break my own economy.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we did for the thing that we have planned.
Mm-hmm.
And
we should build a house together before we start that. We should just have something that's like, this is ours, and get that bullshit out of the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then, like, once I have that kind of created, I switch it back to survival and actually do the playing.
Yeah. So, I didn't know the world I was playing on. I had started before. Like, it was just there, and I just kind of plopped in, and I had, like...
Fuck it, just click on it.
Yeah, like, I had, like, a default skin and, like, nothing in my inventory, so I didn't think anything of it. Turns out, I had built, like, half a house somewhere else, and it was right in front of a swamp, because I remember when I started playing it, I was like, I've never seen a swamp before. Then when I started this one up, wherever I spawned, I, like, looked around and saw the top of a mountain, cleared the top of the mountain, and I was like, I want to be an old man on top of a mountain. And I built a house up there, and then I found a mine that wasn't far from where I was, and I was like, I need a mine cart here. So I just said, fuck it. I have all the wood. I have all the redstone. I have all the gold to do this. Let me just do it in creative.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be way more easy for me to do it in creative. So I wound up doing that. And then I found these fucking things that are like mansions, these mega mansions.
Yeah, those are pretty new.
Yeah. And there's vindicators in them.
Yeah, in the McMansions.
Yes. And, like, I didn't know about this, and I'm streaming it, and I just wanted to go back and get my shit, but as soon as I would spawn, or not spawn, as soon as I would get there, one, it took me 40 minutes to find the fucking place. Right? And it wasn't even that far. Like, it was just the on PC, it's so dense. Forests are so fucking dense on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, and I'm flying around trying to figure it out. I'm trying to run there. I was, like, making new tools and making new armor and shit when I would die and go back to my house. And, like, every time I would get there. And then, like, I want to see what it is. So the explorer in me would just be like, well, I have to check it out a little bit.
Yeah, like, I gotta see it.
These fucking vindicators hit you in, like, two hits. And I'm not bad at Minecraft's combat. I actually kind of like Minecraft's combat because of how simple it is.
Like, I liked it back in the day when it was just like hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when they added the 1.9 combat where you kind of have to time it and you like use shields and stuff, I think it's kind of cool. It's cool, but I'm still like not used to it because I've been playing for so long.
Yeah, shield combat's a lot of fun.
I like always forget that shields exist.
Really?
Yeah. To my detriment, and then I get absolutely dicked on.
I've actually like I don't want to say I've gotten good at shield combat, but I think I've gotten good at shield combat. Like, watcha, watcha.
Yeah,
but like, and then I was like, fuck it, I just want my shit back. And like, I'm streaming, and I'm trying to like not freak out, and
you know, keep a composure for your audience.
Like trying, and but you know, you like play into it a little bit. So then I was like, fuck it, I'm in creative. I spawned flint and steel and a bucket of lava, and I was like, this place is gonna burn to the fucking ground. So I lit the entire house on fire. I was putting lava on the roof. I was putting lava in bedrooms.
Just really just pillaging.
Just because I was like, nobody's allowed to have fun here. And I was just like, and then I'm finding these chests, and these chests have fucking, I shit you not, like 3-string, 4 gunpowder, a record.
It's like, wow, thanks. That's really useful to me.
Yeah, I found a golden apple, like a shiny one. And a diamond chest plate, so I got something good out of it.
That's good.
But, like, at the same time, I was like... But I like having... The way I have my whole thing set up is I like having, like, areas to do stuff. So I have, like, an enchantment room that's, like, under my house. And then I have, like, a storage room that's under my house. And I just built what I call my giant stone penis out of the mountain.
Yeah.
Because for me, which, you know, everybody has a giant stone penis.
Of course.
I need some like realism in Minecraft, which I know sounds stupid, but like when I built my roller coaster, I built beams that go from the ground up just so it looks like it could function. Like I didn't build like fucking designs and shit. Just it looks like it's real. And I was listening to fucking Down the Rabbit Hole. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, next to Geno Samuels, a comprehensive Chris Chan documentary, while I'm doing this on fucking Deep Blue, the chess machine. And I'm just like, ooh, yes, Minecraft chess. And
just really like making your, giving your brain a treat.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm just sitting there like, ooh, thinking. But like,
I've been doing that too.
Play Minecraft?
When I've been playing, I've either like New Vegas or Minecraft, depending on how I'm feeling. I usually have a YouTube video on, and I've been listening to The Right Opinion a lot.
Really?
Oh no. Yeah, I really like his videos. Something about his voice is also really, it just does it for me.
Really? Are you an ASMR person?
Not really, but some voices I just like find attractive.
There's a podcast I listen to that the one woman on the podcast has such an attractive voice. Like, it's just such a sweet voice.
You told
me
about this.
Yeah. Like, she has such a sweet, sweet voice, and it's just nice to kind of, like, I'm driving somewhere, and she's just, like, talking about, like, the latest episode they talked about doing ayahuasca, and, yeah, and then they started talking about, like, the election and politics and racism, and she's a Spanish, she's, Afro-Latino? Latina?
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about shit like that, and I'm just driving and she's talking. I'm just like, this is so nice. She could narrate a murder, and she's just such a sweet voice.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been playing Minecraft. I've been just kind of hanging out. I have things going on that I have to take care of that are important things, but it's just like, I don't feel like it's necessary to talk about.
Like what?
Like personal things. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Things I'm excited about, but I should probably wait and not talk about. Mm. So when I want to talk about something, my mind is a blank because of that. But there is something that I do have written down on my note here. Big boy Todd. Papa Todd.
Papa Todd? Let's pop a squat.
Todd Howard came out and said that Starfield is not coming out for a while, but it's the biggest overhaul to the engine since Oblivion.
I did see that, and that made me excited.
So, hopefully that Xbox money's going to good use.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping.
I don't think we're ever going to see Starfield. We're not ever going to see Starfield. I don't think we're going to see Starfield for another 5 years.
I'd say 5 years... I was thinking 2023. That's what I was
really
thinking.
Wait, are you saying get the game in hand or see the game?
I'd say see the game 2023 with a 2024 winter release. That's kind of where my brain's been placing it. When we're going to see Elder Scrolls 2022 or 3.
I'm thinking we're going to see Elder Scrolls, and I think we're going to see next year at if COVID ends or what have you. If we have E3, or even if they just do game days at their own studio, I think we're going to see, I think we're going to see Elder Scrolls next year for the first time, like a full on, like this,
like
is
something
where
that's
it takes
more
place.
Than just like a 20-second flyover.
Yeah. I think we're going to see something, and we're going to see something big, and, then they're going to say next year it'll get delayed, or they'll do what they always do. And if a game gets announced, it's coming out that year. So maybe in June, we'll get Elder Scrolls 6 announcement in 2022. And then November that year will come out. Could be wrong. Probably wrong.
Or they will announce it early to get hype up and then release it broken on next gen.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I don't think
I'm not being cynical, I swear, because I'm always a Bethesda apologist in general.
See, I am too, but not with story. Like, I'll give them that the games are broken when they come out. They're buggy. Like, they know it too. But yeah. Like, Liberty Prime at the end of the game twice. Like,
yeah, right.
Voice protagonist. Somebody. Nah, I'll save that story for another day.
No, I'm curious.
Kyle told me that the voice protagonist was my blue arm Sonic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Do you want to explain it for the folks at home? Or not really?
So Christopher Christian Christine Ricardo Weston Chandler the internet's most documented human, probably the most documented human in history, is a big Sonic fan. And when you go watch Geno Samuel's documentary, I plug that shit all the time. When Sonic Boom came out, they made Sonic's arms blue, and Christopher Christian Christine Ricardo Weston Chandler had a whole big thing about it and said that that was like the death of Sega and the death of Sonic, and Sonic's arms aren't blue. And Kyle's like, that's the voice protagonist is your blue arm Sonic.
That's,
and
I was like, your no. big hang up.
No,
like,
I was
your
like,
big hang up.
Yeah, but I didn't make a page that's like, fix the protagonist's voice immediately, Bethesda. Like, I didn't fucking,
yeah.
I didn't go on like a tirade and like, but, I don't know. I think we'll see something next year. And I don't know if I've said it here, but I'm getting an Xbox before I get a PlayStation, just because.
Oh yeah, you've decided
because of fucking they bought Bethesda. They bought Bethesda. If there's any chance that I have to wait to play a Fallout game when a Fallout game comes out,
you're going to go out of your brain. Yeah,
I'm not gonna, because then it's gonna get spoiled for me. Like, all the lore is gonna be ruined, and then like, I'm not gonna not do that. Like, even if we don't get another Fallout game until, like 2027, and I'm thinking by 2027 they'll have the next round of consoles coming out. But like, I'm not gonna not,
yeah,
get it.
I am thinking of just holding out for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Seeing what I can score after the new year. Maybe like, try to find some money for like around February, for like my birthday is in February, and see where we're at there. One of the only like reasons that I want a next gen console right now is kind of a dumb reason, because I want to play Cyberpunk in next gen.
You can't play it on your computer?
I can, but yeah, like, so far, I haven't really been, like, particularly sold on anything, except that I really want to play the new Ratchet & Clank. Like,
yeah,
that's
that
looks so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I want the new Ratchet & Clank, which means I have to go with PlayStation. And I want to play Cyberpunk on next gen. Because I don't have RTX cores on my graphics card, so I don't get those nice reflections.
I want to get a PlayStation as well. If anything, I was thinking about maybe making like the Xbox my media hub and my like Fallout machine. But then like,
I think I've said this before on the show, but I used to live with a friend that had a Xbox One as the main media hub, and it rocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was such a good media hub. Everything connected to it. You could literally just plug. We had the Switch go into their HDMI pass through. So you would just say like, okay, Xbox, turn on the Switch, and it just, like, did it.
Yeah.
All for you.
Yeah.
It was, like, super-duper cool.
Yeah.
And the media remote, the little, like, it's like,
so
velvety.
Nice.
It's
so it's nice.
It's so nice.
It's matte. It lights up. Yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved when I lived at that place. It was a lovely place to live. But I really liked having an Xbox around for that.
I think that's our episode, homie.
Yeah, I think we got a little bit of a light one. I mean, we had a really we had a long one last week.
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
So, Shane Ivers, one hell of a man.
He really is. He made our intro music. That's Feather Duster. If you want to get that, you can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster. Vince, do we have social media?
In the description below, there's going to be a link to my Twitter, Ollie's Twitter, the show's Twitter. Check it out. Join our Discord, because we stream there. There's always something fun going on in Discord. We have game nights. Game nights seem to be every other week at this point. Things could change, though.
Sometimes I pop in and stream at really random, strange times.
Yeah, depending on how long it takes me to edit this episode, because I'm going to edit immediately after we get done, I might stream Minecraft. So on a Wednesday or Thursday night, if you're up and in the U.S. on the Eastern time, and you just want to watch somebody play Minecraft and burn down houses, then yo. Yeah. Join Discord. Thank you again to the Patreon. If you want to support us in any way that isn't as big as the Patreon, we do have Redbubble, which I have to fucking still update. I know. I'm sorry. Don't yell. I think that's everything.
I've got a charity stream.
Oz doing a charity stream.
Charity stream. I'm going to have a link to that in the description of this episode. And if you're in our Discord, I'm going to ping you guys, so keep an ear out.
Your camera's doing the thing again where it gets all pixely.
That might just be the... Oh, yeah, it is. What the
no, heck? It'll show up on the video. It's not a big deal. It's the end of the episode. I just noticed it now, though. I don't know if it's doing it the whole time. Whatever.
I was looking at you, your beautiful face.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. I'd give you a compliment, but I don't want to raise your self-esteem. So I think that's the episode. I think that's everything. I think we can get out of here.
All right, I'm going to go back to losing my goddamn mind.
Cool. bye.
Catch you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.